for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A
of the Saturday evening service of February 23, 2002, the Ladies' Conference, being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Alberta Landry of Beaumont, Texas, is the minister of the evening.
That's the definition of sorrow. And that's the definition. If you search it out in the Arabic, the Hebrew, in your concordance, you'll find that that's what that means, that first sorrow. He said, I'm going to greatly multiply women in your soulless realm. They want to say, why are women so emotional? Women are so emotional. Because it's under that curse. It's under that curse. He said, I'm going to greatly multiply your sorrow. And then he added another sorrow to us. See, these are two different. One's a noun and one's a verb. And when I search it, I'm going to say, whoa, God, this is good. I like this. Because, see, I like to understand. I like to know, Lord, why do I go through some of these things that I'm going through it, and we don't even understand it sometimes? I want to come from under the curse, so I want to know what it is. If I don't know the curse, I can't come from under it. Glory to God. And see, he gave provision for every curse. I believe, I receive. Bless God. All right, let me go on. He says, I'm going to greatly multiply thy sorrow and your conception. Semicolon. In sorrow. In sorrow. What sorrow? The childbearing. I'm going to have pain. Because then when I looked up this sorrow, it means to have pain. To cause pain. Lupio. Lupio. To cause pain. And then it goes on, and when I looked it up, it says, whether that pain is in the mind or in the body. To cause or inflict pain. To have anguish. To travail. Glory to God. To have birthing pain. That's what that sorrow meant. So there was a second part curse. But they didn't stop there. Glory to God. He says, and I'm just going to add something else to what you got to go through. And he says, and thy desire shall be to thy husband. Glory to God. I looked at the word desire. It means intense longing for, craving. Original sense means to stretch out after, to wish or to long for, to covet, to want, a longing for something lacking or needed. Desire. He said, your desire is going to be towards your husband. I don't know about anybody else, I mean, as far as like ministry, but I mean, I hear so many women come up and say, well, I'm waiting on my husband. God's got a husband for me. I got to have a husband. Pray for me a husband. Pray for me a husband. Pray for me a husband. And I say, if you in Christ, you got one. Okay. Glory to God. That's your first husband. Needs to be if it ain't. But there's a longing. There's a need for it. Why? Because God said, your desire shall be for your husband. The woman, the Samaritan woman that was at the He said, you're thirsting. You don't even know what you're thirsting for. You're longing for something. You don't even know what you're longing for. You're wanting something. You don't even know what you want. And he said, where's your husband? And I could just imagine how she looked when he said that. Well, I got to be honest. There's a man in my house, and he's not my husband either. And I've had five. But she had a desire. She wanted a husband. All right. Glory to God. And he shall rule over thee. So when they get the man, then he's going to rule over them. See, that wasn't the order at first. Dominion was given to them, the word, over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air. They didn't have a dominion of rulership. Now I'm going to tell you what type of rule this was. It's a different type of rule. See, the role of rule actually changed when sin came in. The leadership role was actually changed when sin came in. Rule. to reign, to have dominion, to govern, to have power over, to exercise authority, to make someone lesser than. And God said, that's what your husband's going to do now over you. When they were supposed to be walking one, God said they were one. But you can't be one if part of you is less than you. Y'all get that?
Yeah.
You cannot be one if you have a half on one side and a quarter on another. And the woman was put in that position of being less than the equal. Helpmeet means to be equal to. So that they could rule and reign in harmony and love and peace and tranquility. All things provided. Glory to God. I tell people, I say, you know the scripture says that he came to set the captive free. I think he was talking about women. I know he was talking about everybody, but I say, hey, he was talking about us. Praise God. Praise God. See, in 1 Timothy 3:5, there's another rule that's listed in 1 Timothy 3:5, which is the same kind of, it says, to maintain. See, the way that man was supposed to be leadership of his house was not to rule with a big stick. You do as I say, do and don't do nothing else, and if you do it, I'll bop you upside the head. And, I mean, my first marriage, that's the type of marriage I had. I've been told.
I'm the king of my castle.
And I was treated as a servant. Isn't she? And if I didn't, I was breakfast, dinner, and supper with him. I was an abused wife. So I know how to minister to women that are abused. Mentally, emotionally, physically, and even spiritually. Praise the Lord. But in 1 Timothy 3:5, the word there means to maintain, to care for, to be a protector, to be a guardian, to give aid, to give attention to guide. Praise God. To lead. Oh, glory to God. That's why when he spoke to us in Ephesians, praise God, he says, husbands, you're to love your wives like Christ loved the church. Because that's what he wanted from the very beginning. I don't care what anybody says. A man that loves his wife unconditionally and well and treats her so well, hey. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about?
Okay.
It's real. Praise God, it's real. I should have done it like this. But y'all know I'm telling the truth. What woman, I try to be as honest as I can. Praise God. I'm not going to say that I never lie, but I sure try not to lie. Glory to God. And if I lie, I repent. Praise God. You know? But you think about it. Okay, like I said, I was an abused wife. My first husband was an abusive husband. Okay, I've had guns pointed to my head, cocked, and I've had knives at my throat. All right? So, I mean, I've been beaten, I've been drugged by the hair, you know, I've been run down the street, and, you know, oh, who knows what else. But anyway, praise God. That's why I thank God for ungodly husbands. Amen. Praise God. You know? But I thank and I praise God because I didn't want to be with that man. I did not want to be with him. Why would I want to be with somebody that abuses me? But yet we tell women to do that. Oh, baby, just stay on in there. Bop. Just stay on in there. Bop. The Word of God says if you can't live peaceably, praise God. But no one can tell me that they desire. They may love him. And I'm talking to the women because it's the women's culture, right? And that is real. You may love him, but you're not going to tell me that you want to be with him when he beats you or he abuses you, whether it's mental, verbal, or whatever. Because if you say that, come up here, let's cast the lying devil out. Because it's real. Abuse has caused more women never wanting to get married again. Some have gone into lesbianism and homosexuality because of it. I'm telling the truth. Amen. Bless God. Praise the name of Jesus. All right, let me get back over here. Praise God. But the Word of God says he was wounded. He was bruised. Glory to God. And those sorrows, those things that happened in the garden spoken unto us, you don't have to carry it anymore. You don't have to be under that curse because it was taken to the cross for you. He made provision that if you are married, now if you have an unsaved husband, then you have to pray for your husband. I mean, supplicate, deep supplication for your unsaved mate. Love him as God loves him and pray for him as God desires for you to pray for him. And I'm not talking about them witchcraft prayers. Whip him up, God.
take him across the coals and don't let him up with your foot on his neck. Yeah, God, beat him up for me. Yeah, I want him whipped. Praise God. Glory to God. Now, praise the Lord. But we're to live holy lives before him, which is show them that we are serving God and that we are willing to obey God in all the fullness of the word obey. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What time is it? There's only one thing that reaches heaven before you do, and that's your word. The word of God says we're snared by our own words, and our tongue is life and death. Amen? So there's only one thing that's going to reach heaven before you get there, and that's the words that you speak right now. Praise God. So our tongues need to be changed. Our wording needs to be changed. Our prayers, some of our prayers need to be changed. Amen? If you want a prayer to get through, as we say, pray the word. Because he said he gave this word to hasten it, to perform it, to bring it to pass. Every situation that you're going through is covered in the word. Praise God. When they got ready to be kicked out of the garden, they were forgiven because a sacrifice was made. There was a blood sacrifice. The word of God says, without the shedding of blood, there was no remission for sin. So God said, I'm going to put forth a sacrifice for the man and the woman. And he killed an animal. There was a first blood sacrifice was in the garden. And the blood sacrifice meant that their sins were cleansed and they were forgiven. But they couldn't stay in the garden. Because now they were like them to where they knew the good and the evil. And they also had accessibility to the tree of life where they could always live on and on and on knowing the good and the evil. See, we get to heaven, we're not going to know evil. We're going to dwell with him. We're not going to know evil. Evil's going to be a thing of the past. Not to be remembered anymore. And the Lord God is telling us today, he wants the first to be last and the last to be first. Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith. He's the first and he's the last. He's your Alpha, he's your Omega, he's your beginning, and he's your ending. Praise God. We may not go back to the Garden of Eden, but there's a better place. But I'm going to be like David. Oh, that I might see the goodness of God in the land of the living. See, there's no such thing as, oh, I just can't sin. That's a lie from the devil. And I don't want to get all to the scriptures because I want to come against some things, praise God. But I really want to lead us in some prayer. Unison. Unity is an awesome tool that God has given to the body of Christ. Why do you think the devil tries to keep us divided? If he doesn't divide us by denomination or religion or doctrine, he divides us by something else. He divides us by gender. He divides us by color. He divides us by nationality. He's always trying to divide. I looked up the word denomination. It means common denominator. What is that in? That's in math, which means division. It means division. And the Lord says we're to be as one. Hallelujah. He wants us to be like we were in the beginning. Before we came out of our mother's womb, we were preordained by God. We were predestinated by God. We had a purpose and he had a plan. And God wants to fulfill his purpose and the plan that he's already set forth in motion. But now we got to walk in. I tell people, why are you asking me what God wants you to do? Why should he tell me what he can tell you? We'll go to our pastors. We'll go to our sisters, our friends. Joe Blow down the street. Hey, Joe. You know what God wants me to do? But we never go to the Father. And we never say, Lord, I want to do your will. I want to be obedient to your will. Bless God. Go with me to John 17. John 17, verse 15. Well, I'm going to start with verse 13. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. This is a letter, the red letter, so that's Jesus talking. Praise God. 14 says, I have given them thy word. Now, Jesus is praying for us here. He says, I've given them thy word. And the world has hated them because they got the word. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful for the world to hate you because you got the word? He said they're exceedingly joyful. Didn't he? When they persecute you. Oh, no, they do me all kind of... Hey, come on, saints of God. He said, be joyful. No, he said, be exceedingly glad. Praise God. Hallelujah. It goes on. He says, I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world. Now, if we're doing worldly things, guess what we're of? And if we're of the world, that makes the word not effect for you. Me too. I'm not just saying you. Me too. But he says, I've given them your word, God. And the world is supposed to hate them because of it. Why? Because the world is supposed to see the word in manifestation through him. And it's going to make them mad. It's going to make them tremble. The Pharisees didn't like it that Jesus walked in authority. He's trying to come take over the synagogue, is what they were trying to say. He wants my place. And he was still there to heal them. I don't want nobody's place. I just want mine. And if we walk in the one that God purposed, we say that the ear can't be the eye and the eye can't be the nose and on, glory to God. Oh, I love that. Praise God. Praise God. Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Christ in me, the hope of glory. I live and I move and I have my being because Christ lives in me. But yet the world can't see that, then there's something wrong with the picture. If the world can't see Christ in you, see, we got to wake up. God will have to wake up. He said, awake, awake, O Zion. He said, he doesn't slumber, nor does he sleep. The word of God tells me that he says it's going to come a time when I'm going to break that man's sin. He said, if they want strong delusion, I'm going to give it to them. They want to stay in their sins, I'm going to let them stay in their sins. Until they come to a point where they cry out, I came to a point on that deathbed. Glory to God. I tell him, you don't want to go there. You don't want death knocking at your door saying, I'm come to get you. You don't want that. But it's doing it every day. Because Satan in John 10:10, he's still coming to kill you, to steal you, and to destroy you. He's on his job. Saints, we better get on out. Bless God. The word of God tells me the gates of hell is not supposed to be prevailing against the body of Christ, against the church, but yet we see it happening. What's wrong with that picture? Arise, saints. Praise God. I love the scripture where Jim says it all the time, that the Lord is a man of war. That means he has a host of warriors. He's Jehovah Shabbat, the Lord of warriors, the Lord of hosts. Glory to God. And I believe it's not just an angelic host he's looking for. Hallelujah. He's looking for an angelic and down here too, an earthly man. That's willing to say, Lord, I want to obey you and I'm going to walk in that you've given unto me. I'm not going to sway to the left and I'm not going to sway to the right. I'm going to stay focused, straight, stable, responsible, and accountable unto my God. Bless God. See, it takes a made up mind. It takes a made up mind. How do I get to know him? How do I get closer to him? How do I become intimate with the one that I say I love? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. You want to get closer to God? Keep his commandments. He'll walk with you in the cool of the day. Oh, bless God. Hallelujah. He said, praise God. 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. See, there are some people that say, Lord, I'm ready to go home. Take me out of here. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of that. The devil is a liar. God's got work for you to do. I say, pull up your bootstraps and go to work. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo. Praise God. Praise God. We need to have some righteous indignation against the things of evil. We need to hate those things he hates and love those things he loves. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And he hates sin. He hates sin. We need to have a passion against sin. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. He said, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Even though you're in the world, you're not of the world. So you shouldn't be doing worldly things. I'm not talking about going to a movie. I'm talking about adultery and fornication and all the other garbage, bad stuff. We know lying and backbiting and conniving and gossiping and all tale bearing and all that other trash, bad stuff that we know. We shouldn't be doing that. Hebrews, it says, lay aside every weight. And what? And what? And the what? Don't be afraid to speak it out. And the what? That what? Besets you. Glory to God. Sanctify them through thy what? Thy truth. What is truth? Thy word is truth. What does sanctify mean? To make me holy. To set me apart. To consecrate me. To be different.
Right.
Amen. Oh, bless God. Go with me to Genesis, and I'm going to stop with this, and I'm going to just ask you to pray with me about some things. Praise God. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 4. Who knows that Jesus was not the second Adam, but the last Adam? Amen? Chapter 4. And Adam knew Eve, his wife. And I looked up that word knew there and checked it out. It just didn't mean sexual intercourse. He knew her inside and out. He knew her desires. He knew how to please her. It's not just about sex there. Glory to God. Intercourse is not a dirty word. I tried to find sex, the word sex in the Bible. Did anybody ever find it in the Bible? I didn't either. Isn't that something? I didn't find that word in the first. I'm going to leave that at that. Praise God. But let's go. I don't want to get onto that. But anyway, let's jump down a little bit. Because we know that she conceived, praise God, and she bare, praise God, and she brought forth Cain, then came forth Abel. Amen? All right? Let's go down to verse 4. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. Well, I'm going to start with verse 3. Excuse me. Let's go up one. Let's go to 3. And in process of time, it came to pass. Now, they knew about the blood sacrifice. They knew about the making forth the sacrifice and all that kind of stuff. They knew that because God showed them that all before he drove them out the garden. All right? Well, bless God. Word of God goes on and says, in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel. Here's this word, and again. And. He also had respect to Abel's offering. He respected Abel, and he respected his offering. Verse 5, and unto Cain and to his offering, he hath not respect. So the Lord saying he didn't respect Cain, and he didn't respect his offering. And Cain was very wroth. He was angry. He was mad. And his countenance fell. But here's our God. Here's our Lord. And the Lord said unto Cain, why are you wroth? Why are you angry? Why are you manifesting wrath? And why is your countenance fallen? Why are you so upset, Cain? If thou doest well, underline the word well, or underline doest well in your Bible. If thou doest well, this is a question he's asking, shall thou not be accepted? If you're doing right, you're going to be accepted. If you're not doing right, you're not going to be accepted. So why get upset because you know you ain't doing the right thing? Why get mad at God and everybody else if you know you're not doing the right thing? Because we want God to take our junk and just accept it any kind of we bring it to him? It's not going to happen. Well, I don't know why God answered your prayer and gave you that. I asked, prayed for the same thing. He didn't give it to me. Who she thinks she is, she got that and I don't have it. Oh, yeah, we've heard things like that. Sometimes we don't want to talk about it, but it's still true. Praise God. That people do say things like that. And if thou doest well, if thou dost not do well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire. That's the word desire again. And it's the same desire
That was spoken on you. The longing. Sin is longing for you. Sin wants you. And he's laying at the door. Said, oh, one of these days I'm going to kill. I'm going to try everything I can. But one of these days, I'm going to get him. Sin's looking forward to it. That's why he's going all out. He's going all out. He's saying, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. I'm going to do everything I can do to get him. And one of these days, I'm going to find the right thing to push the button. I'm going to do the right thing to make them want me like I want them. Huh. But here's the Lord telling Cain this. He said, but Cain, don't you know that you have rule over that thing? Sin may want you, but you have authority over sin. So, why are we getting so upset? Because sin's still trying to make you upset. Sin's still trying to make you angry. Sin is still trying to make you sorrowful. Sin's still wanting you to grieve and to mourn and be depressed and feel less than who you are. Sin still wants you to not know anything. Sin still wants you ignorant so that Satan can have a foothold in your life. Sin is still lying at the door, desiring you. Because once you sin, Satan's right behind him. And every demon power have access. Disobedience, sin, we don't have to live under the curse. He said that their joy might be full. Praise God. Praise the Lord. First thing we're going to do, if y'all will stand, if y'all will, please. And just repeat after me. Praise the Lord. Want to get a quick stretch? I pray that the word was a blessing to you. Praise God. Heavenly Father, repeat after me, please. Heavenly Father, I ask your forgiveness, for I know that your mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. I humbly thank you for your forgiveness and your mercy, because your word says that the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting. And his truth endures to all generations. Father God, I come before you now to forgive anyone who now comes to mind that I need to forgive. Because according to your word, in Matthew 6, 14 and 15, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you.
Your heavenly Father will also forgive you.
But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
I am willing
with an act of my will
to forgive
anyone and everyone that comes to my remembrance during these prayers. I forgive. Now let the Holy Spirit just bring people to your mind and just forgive. Let them go. Remit that thing. Don't hold on to it. Don't clench your fist. Just open your hands. It's like you're releasing something. Just let it go. Just let it go. Give it to the Father. Praise God. Give the people to the Father. Sometimes the things we're holding on to, it might be hindering their salvation. And we don't want to be a hindrance to anyone's salvation. Praise God. Now, in days to come, repeat after me, in days to come, as you bring to my remembrance,
anyone else,
I will quickly forgive them.
I also forgive
myself
for the wrong things
that I've done,
for the things
that I should have done,
and I did not do.
Lord,
I not only intend to change,
I desire to change.
So, Father God,
I know one thing.
I need your help.
I need your help.
And I'm calling right now.
And I'm calling right now.
Upon you, Lord God.
Upon you, Lord God.
For your help.
For your help.
Now, Heavenly Father.
By the
authority
given unto me
by your Son Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior, I break the power of command that hides those emotions that are keeping me bound. Sorrow, worry, grief, mourning, depression. Go.
Go
in the name of Jesus.
Name of
you have no part in me from this day forward in Jesus' name. I am not under your control. I am not under your command. In the name of Jesus, I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, go and go now. Go now in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Now, we're going to pray one more time.
Heavenly Father,
I'm willing
to remember
painful things
that happened in my life
that I might get delivered
of those things.
Those things I've hidden,
put under,
don't want to think about.
I'm asking you now
to bring it up
and deliver me
and set me free
from those ungodly painful things.
I break,
destroy,
and make null and void
all ungodly soul ties
with those that hurt me,
those that have done evil towards me,
and against me.
And I do now forgive them.
Father God,
I come before you now
in order to be free
of any and all spirits
that have made their entrance
into me,
or have gained any stronghold
over my life
regarding these situations.
Now, in the name of Jesus,
I proclaim,
I decree,
because Lord, you said,
I can decree a thing
and it shall be established.
I decree today
that I am free
from the bondages
of the enemy
of my past.
See, sometimes we allow our past to grip us in our future.
Sometimes we allow our past to keep us bound that we never get a future.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Father God,
I expect to be healed.
I expect to be healed.
And I expect it from you, Lord.
And I expect it from you, Lord.
That I be healed,
of every
moment of pain,
every memory of pain.
I thank you, Lord, right now,
because
you told me,
as I believe,
I receive.
And I thank you, Lord God,
for it.
Now hear me, Lord.
I present myself to you
for my healing.
Save me, Lord.
I present myself to you
for my salvation.
Deliver me, Lord.
I present myself to you
for my deliverance.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, Father, I pray for each and every woman, man, child in this place right now.
Father, I thank you right now, Lord God,
because, Lord, you said that, Lord, we will have what we say.
So, Father, we thank you right now as we open ourselves up to receive your blessings, Lord, from on high.
We thank you, Lord God, that you said that you would pour out your blessings upon us, Lord. And it's not just talking about money.
Lord, that we would not even have room to contain it.
Lord, there's been much deliverance that has gone forth in this place today and even yesterday, Lord God.
Lord, I thank you right now because, Lord, even as the word was going forth, people were getting delivered.
And I thank you for that, Father God.
Father, I thank you right now, Lord God, that every part of their being that has been set free, be filled either by the Spirit of Almighty God or by the Word of Almighty God.
Father, I thank you right now, Lord God, as I speak life upon them and not death.
I speak blessings upon them and not curses
in the name of Jesus.
Father, you said they will be blessed and they will be multiplied.
Father, I speak fruitfulness upon them in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you right now, Lord God, that these women will rise up and be counted in your glory. I thank you, Lord God, that you have made us more than conquerors and victorious in your sight. And Father, we thank you right now as we dedicate ourselves unto you, Father God. Teach us, oh God. This is just a foretaste, Lord God. Everything they need to know can't come from this place right here, God. They got to get in your presence. And Lord, I pray, Lord, you will give them a fervency in their spirit, oh God, that they will desire to be in your presence. That they will desire to want your word, God. Raise up a desire in their hearts and their minds, Lord God, to want to know your word, Lord God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. God bless you, saints.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.